Welcome back to Boston Public Radio. I'm Jim Browdy, and she would be Marjorie Egan. You can make the case that a cookbook is the perfect present. Here's why. It has great illustrations and photos in most cases. Usually has some history, chemistry, anthropology in the mix. It also, this is the biggest to me, it has the huge benefit of tapping into your do-it-yourself spirit, but unlike most books, you don't feel guilty if you haven't read it yet. So here with us in Studio 3, with his cookbook suggestions for the holiday, is Corby Kummer. I think you know Corby's a senior editor at The Atlantic and an award-winning food writer. Corby, it's great to see you.
Great to be here.
Ooh.
What do you mean, ooh, already?
You just handed me a great one, Cooking for Crowds. Yeah. This is terrific.
Cooking for crabs or for crowds?
Not crabs.
See, let me tell you, before you even start with your recommendations, Corby, my view is all anybody needs 12 months a year is a good crockpot cookbook, and you're all set. What do you say to that?
I say you can buy my Pleasures of Slow Food, my second book, and find non-crockpot recipes that will last you the rest of your life. Yes.
When did that come out?
Write that down.
Gosh, 2012?
Can I tell you something? I will own it by the end of this day. I'm totally serious. I will own it by the end of the day. So give us recommendations for different kinds of people at different levels of cooking skills. What's the right book for the right person?
Oh, okay. So it's different levels of cooking skills. I'm very glad you asked that. I'm dipping into my book for Chop Chop. So this is a magazine started by the local extremely accomplished Sally Sampson, nonprofit quarterly on how to cook with families. So it disguises itself as a completely multicultural, elementary, here's what we do for children. But what it really does is teach every family how to cook.
This is fabulous. I'm reading as you're talking. It's simple. Great illustrations. It's terrific.
Hold on. Did you do that with your children? I did not, and I suppose because I don't cook well enough really to teach them. But, I mean, did you do that with your kids, being a fine cook?
Oh, you know, I was ridiculous. I would try to teach children how to roll their own pizza dough. And how to make their own pizza dough and wait 2 hours. You know, it's only 2 hours. It's not like overnight for regular risers. So, you know, I was ridiculous. This is much more elementary and what kids actually eat.
Can I tell you something?
Before
you go to the next one, I want to voice a complaint with your selections even after one book. And I hope you don't take this personally.
We're starting.
No, a cookbook has to have a spiral binder. When a spiral, what is the nut binder? What's that thing called?
Bound, yeah.
Loose leaf.
No, the problem is any of these cookbooks that you open, unless you put something to weigh down pages on both sides, it collapses on you, doesn't it? Isn't that an issue?
You put a hairbrush in the middle.
Was that what you do?
No, I put other books. And it's constantly, or you get one of those plastic cookbook stands. But the great thing about cookbooks is, first of all, people still like cooking for them, not from iPads, which get incredibly greasy when you get them wet. It's one of the few things where people actually want pages. And they get sauce-stained pages. And for sauce-stained pages, we have Sauces and Shapes, a great book about pasta. By two pasta scholars who have distilled exactly the sauces you need to know about for pasta. It's an everyday, it's scholarly, it's authentic, but it's also completely usable. And it's what you will make every night.
Marjorie is writing down every single word.
Hope springs eternal that I one day will become a good cook.
So by the way, at the end of the show at WGBHnews.org, there'll be a list of everything that Corby's mentioned. But Corby, since you blew that complaint out of the water, let me try one more and then I'm going to shut up. So you use a cookbook stand. I guess that does resolve that problem. But the other problem for those of us who are sort of novice cooks, when the recipe does not end on the page that you're working on and have to flip the page, it's not fair. Would you agree with that?
I would agree that it's not fair when a recipe is so short that you have to be a good cook to figure out how to make it work. Mm. And that is the problem with a lot of recipes. So I brought in a beautiful bearded Brooklyn book. There's a whole subcategory of bearded Brooklyn books because there are all these hipsters. They all have long beards. I wrote about two of them in the Atlantic.com's roundup, which is where this runs. So here's a beautiful marble cheesecake brownies recipe with a gorgeous photograph from the Mast Brothers Chocolate Family Cookbook. So Mast Brothers, you see this beautiful handmade
book leaf paper.
They have the most gorgeous packaging. They themselves are craggly, handsome, Midwestern, long-bearded brothers.
They have a million
videos on their
line. I have to see the handsome
brothers. So they're a local cult, and it's a very beautiful book. And there are things like chocolate sauces and easy truffles, you know, candies that you make yourself that are going to be easy to make.
I don't know. They look a little like serial killers to me. I'm not sure.
Yeah, they're less ominous looking in person and on their videos.
Okay. What's the name of that one again? That is a beautiful book.
The Mast Brothers Chocolate Family Cookbook. As I say in the Atlantic.com, every year needs some chocolate porn. So this is the chocolate porn. There's also a great book by Alice Medrich, perhaps the top chocolate educator in the country. Yes, there is a category of those. And she's come out with Seriously Bittersweet, which is a great teaching book and a great chocolate book for those lovers.
By the way, the books you have brought, that is beautiful. It's beautifully bound. The photographs are absolutely beautiful. Mm-hmm. The print, it really is a beautiful book.
Yeah. Best of Brooklyn.
Corby Kummer, expert food writer and chef and writer for Atlantic Magazine and many other publications. You write for Boston Magazine all the time, too.
I'm a restaurant critic, thank goodness.
If people are trying to be more healthy and they want to get a cookbook, you know, that's not going to be ladled with, you know, heavy cream and stuff like that, is there a new one from 2013 that you would recommend?
Well, yeah. I mean, but this is like not simple. It's called Pak Pak and it's Thai food and
Thai
it's
food.
Complicated.
Okay. Forget that.
There's no cream in it. There's no cream in it. But it is fantastically interesting. It's full of vegetables and stir fries, lots of chili sauces. For every adventurous ethnic cook, this is probably the book of the year.
P-O-K, P-O-K.
Right. Written by a guy named Andy Ricker, a very accomplished chef who had a cult restaurant of the name Pak Pak in Portland, Oregon. And it was such a cult that it has transferred to New York City. You know something's really made it if it's been in Portlandia and then to New York.
Now, may I have another question?
Keep going.
There was a book that came out by Mark Bittman. He writes about food for the New York Times, about how to cook everything, about a year ago. And it was 2 years ago. It was great because it was for people that didn't know how to cook anything. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the joy of cooking. Is there a kind of book like that that's a good gift for people that are just, you know, new brides or something like that?
Well, so I would say that Chop Chop, which is geared for kids,
supposedly,
is incredibly basic and elementary. And that's why I think it's in disguise. It's a great teaching book for grown-ups,
Terrific.
Too, for every day and every night meals that are designed to be healthy, because the hidden purpose of it is get kids eating fresh food and don't get them fat. I mean, it has a big has a big underlying agenda. There's nothing preachy about it. You wouldn't know from the incredible, cheerful, multicultural, beautiful color pictures there are. But that is probably the kind of health food book of the year.
You know, while you are talking about people who are some of the great cookbook recipe writers or good cookbook writers, there also is an art to the photograph of food. A friend of mine who actually died about a year ago, was my best friend in college, Michael Abramson, was a great food photographer. He was brilliant. I'm looking at the cover of the Joanne Chang book, the new book that came out. Mm-hmm. I think it's new. Is it not? Flower 2?
Yes.
T-O-O. The photographs are just totally beautiful.
They're stunning.
They really are stunning. And there is a huge—I guess it's fairly obvious. There's an art to this.
Michael Helen Turkel. So in the roundup, I didn't bring it in. There's this weird Brooklyn cookbook that I have just for the photographs. It's by two guys who have a blog called The Way We Ate. The book is called The Way We Ate. It's the weirdest, most confusing conceit of for every year of the 20th century, they'll take one historical riff, you know, whether it's Prohibition, so it gives a great drink, whether it's the opening of South Pacific in some enchanted evening. I mean, it's just, you can't really tell. But because they are such talented and in-demand food photographers, they got every kind of famous foodie in New York to contribute. So there's whole list. There's this raft of New York chefs and great food people who are doing these okay, odd, eccentric recipes, but the photographs are stunning, and you are seeing this is the food world and what the food world is looking at.
How is the Joanne Chang was in here a couple of months ago, I think for a quiz, I'm not sure, but she's local, and we're big on local. You're local. How is the Joanne Chang book?
Oh, it's so good.
Why?
Oh, good.
Because everything Joanne Chang does is pleases crowds, is kind of field tested. You can't go into one of the four locations of Flower without waiting in line. The one in Back Bay, where I'm often waiting before the train, is amazingly crowded. She's such a good marketer.
So is Cambridge on Mass Ave near Raleigh.
Absolutely.
All the time.
Yeah. I'll probably be there later this afternoon. So why is it so good? Because she uses such fresh ingredients and she has twists to everything. So there's the winter salad. You just opened it to a farmer's market salad. My spouse had this fabulous salad at the Ford Point Channel and said, everything was so fresh. Why is her stuff just so much better? Because they pay attention to ingredients. It's simple. there's this egg sandwich. If you've ever had the egg sandwich, it's kind of like a baked omelet that's easy to make. You cut it into squares, you layer it with cheddar and tomatoes, and you put it on her focaccia bread, which she tells you how to make. They're these simple tomato soups. It's a general cookbook, and it shows you why it's so popular. She shares all her secrets, and as you say, there's, you know, everything you open to, you want to eat, right? Roasted pork.
What's that called? What's that called?
Flour 2,
T-O-O.
Okay.
So the first book was Flour.
Audrey is writing his speaking.
Well, you know, I went to the Brookline Booksmith, which is a bookstore in Coolidge Corner.
As well as you should.
I should say.
And as well you should.
I was stunned because I don't know if this is just something special for Christmas, but I walked in there and all the cookbooks are right in the front of the store. So I presume that that's because these are huge for Christmas. That people
it's because
just,
they have good taste.
Probably because they have good taste.
They
right?
have
Usually they
selection.
Have the hardcover bestsellers there in the front and the new hardcover fiction, but they had all the cookbooks and they were I was overwhelmed. So that's why I'm so happy
to see.
Is
this where cookbook writers make most of their money? I assume Christmas is absolutely huge, is it not?
Yeah, no, I'm sure it's where they make most of their money.
So are you giving any cookbooks for the holiday, for Christmas?
Well, I'm giving lots of review copies that I have. I have to keep, you know, I have to keep a lot that I have to keep a lot that I have.
Well, tell us about your book. The Pleasures of Slow Food was a while ago now.
And The Joy of Coffee, which is in a revised edition, which is how to make and brew coffee. Everything about it to make it really simple. And who doesn't love coffee, including your previous guest?
Wasn't he great?
Yeah,
during
he
the
was great.
23rd Psalm with
Tim
caffeine.
Skank, Reverend Skank, yeah.
Oh, listen, I have to plug something else. The late editor of The Atlantic wrote a book called Things That Matter, I think. But the main essay was about colored lights. And it was called Colored Lights. And he said, I am a colored lights man. We live in a white lights neighborhood, which is Swampscott unnamed. And those boys are still going very strong in Swampscott. They're just the greatest family.
Who's and the late editor of
the
great
Atlantic? Michael Kelly.
Michael Kelly, of course.
Yeah, just a wonderful guy, a wonderful writer, and will always be remembered. So the minute you say colored lights, I think Mike Kelly and his terrific boys.
So can you do a little? You give us a broad array of cookbooks from sauces to chocolate. Oh, book. Do this one, and then I'm going to ask you to make three recommendations for people who are just overwhelmed. Go ahead.
So this is a book I'm completely tickled by called The Book of Schmaltz. It's by a non-Jew named Michael Ruhlman, who had a great Jewish neighbor in Cleveland who taught him how to love schmaltz. And it's how to make schmaltz, which is rendered chicken fat from skin with onions, and then put it in things like matzo balls and knishes and oatmeal cranberry cookies.
I've never even heard of that.
And
schmaltz,
soup
you never
and
heard
consomme.
Of?
No.
Marjorie, we are giving you an ethnic education
you
today.
Are.
From Thai to schmaltz. What he doesn't mention is schmaltz in Eastern Europe means pork fat, which for Jews who were raised on it comes as a very rude shock. And there's a new recipe, a new restaurant in Union Square, Somerville, where schmaltz indeed means pork fat. So you have to get used to it. Bronwyn.
So are you going to be upset if I say her people in a last minute 1 week to go rush? Give them three at the top. I know you love them all.
Yeah, I do.
What would
love
your
them
three
all.
Top recommendations
oh,
be?
Oh gosh, sauces and shapes for pasta, chop chop for families, and as elementary cooking that's healthy. Pock Pock for the food fanatic who loves ethnic food. It's such an interesting Thai book. And for the chef on your list, Flour too, because we all love Joanne Chang and it's so accessible and so good. And for the obsessive, I want to be a chef, there's a book called Manresa, M-A-N-R-E-S-A. There's a guy named David Kinch in California who is a chef. Go around the world, and people who really know food all have their eye on David Kinch. He's never written a book before, and it's a fascinating look into the avant-garde of food and cooking.
You must be a great cook.
I'm a good cook.
Why
I
do you
follow...
never bring anything for us, by the way?
Okay, so all right.
I'm
so
serious.
I've got to correct this now. Because I'm a restaurant critic and I buy stuff and I eat incredibly simply.
We have 45 seconds.
But I feast on reading cookbooks, and there's great reading this year also.
I'm psyched.
Corby,
I'm psyched.
We love you. Thank
I'm
you
ready
so
to go
much
back to the
in.
Brookline Booksmith and make my purchases. Corby Kummer is a
my
senior
God.
Editor at The Atlantic and an award-winning food writer and also a great cook. Corby, thank you so much for coming
Thanks,
in.
Corby.
And thank you to
you.
All you guys for listening to another edition of Boston Public Radio. Tune in tomorrow for Open Mic with Alex Beam from the Boston Globe, who is always a riot. Governor Deval Patrick will be here on Friday. Our show is a production of WGBH Boston Public Radio. Our team is Chelsea Murs, Will Roselip, John Parker and Amanda McGowan. I am Marjorie Egan.
You know who's supposed to be a great cook, by the way?
Who?
Deval Patrick. We'll talk to him about that. It's right before Christmas. I'm Jim Browdy.
Osabuca or something like that?
Osabuca is
his
signature
close.
Dish.
Thanks for listening.